Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly, 6 o'clock tonight at Chickies. The Jordan Mailata Show with myself, Elliot Shore Parks, and Jordan. And then 7 o'clock is the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot, and this week's guest, Cam Jurgens. This segment sponsored by NJM Insurance. So, Diana Rossini, Ike, has been on the A.J. Brown trade story for a while. She writes about it pretty often. Diana Rossini of The Athletic. Good reporter, Diana Rossini is. She writes in yesterday's update, I believe, either yesterday or Saturday's update. The Eagles will continue to insist they have no plans to trade Brown, their star receiver. But every week that passes with problems piling up makes decision makers around the league wonder. One source told me, quote, Brown doesn't look frustrated or mad. He looks indifferent. And that's not a good place to be. A GM in the AFC said, I think Howie moves him. It would have to be for the right player or pick, but a trade wouldn't surprise me. Howie likes deals, especially if a player's value overrides how Brown is being used. Most teams anticipate the asking price to be steep. Expect more calls as we near November. Did not think we'd be here. That the reality of an A.J. Brown in-season trade, which off-season... Like, if you ask me to bet, will A.J. Brown be on the Eagles in 2026, I would bet no. That would be my bet. But in season would be pretty chaotic. Is there a point where the A.J. Brown thing for the Eagles is hurting, as great a player as he is, and we all agree he's a great player, is hurting them more than he's helping them? And is there a point at which you would consider, if that is the case, if you had the right offer, moving him in the season?
Well, I mean, if you're telling me he's hurting the team more than he's helping, of course you got to consider it. Why wouldn't you?
Well, but that I'm asking you that. I'm saying it, not
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying if that's the case. So, in other words, that's what the situation would have to be. If I'm the Eagles, if AJ is being – this is – you're asking me what scenario would I trade AJ under in the regular season? He would have to be openly disgruntled, disrespectful, and seeking a trade, or at least showing that he doesn't want to be a part of this team. Like, that's what it would take for me to trade a talent like AJ Brown. If AJ Brown is saying he wants to be an Eagle and he wants to be here, and the noise dies down around him, then I'm not looking to trade AJ Brown during the season. Because here's the thing. There's nothing you can sell to the rest of your fan base that says we're trying to win a championship when you trade A.J. Brown in the middle of a season. So now you have to deal with the idea of what are you playing for this year? Like, what are you doing? And that's the questions they're going to have to deal with every week, because you're not getting proper trade value back for A.J. Brown. As a matter of fact, a team that trades for A.J. Brown is probably going to give you draft picks back. You're not getting a player back.
Yeah, most likely it would be draft picks.
So I don't know how you get better with this team in 2025. Again, they know better than us behind the scenes if him being here is they can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And they feel like it's best for them to move on, then sure. Like, here's the thing. I mean, they released T.O. in the middle of the season.
Yes. Yeah.
So now they didn't release T.O. when they were in first place.
Right. It was past the point of no return.
Well, and their record was different.
Right,
so
right.
Now it becomes
and Donovan was hurt when
I think
when
Donovan was hurt when
yep.
it happened.
Yep.
So that makes it less tolerable for a guy who seemingly doesn't want to be a part of the team. And when I say you want to be a part of the team, I don't mean verbally saying I want to be here. I mean your actions showing that you want to be a part of the team. That means you're pulling in the same direction that all these guys are pulling in, trying to get this thing fixed, being supportive of one another, not pointing fingers at anybody, keeping quiet and doing the work that needs to be done to get things fixed on this football team. If you're a part of that and you want to be a part of that, then I wouldn't even think about trading A.J. Brown. But if you're telling me it's somebody who doesn't seemingly want to be a part of this, moving forward, then, yeah, you got to consider that. There's no doubt you have to consider that because you can't let one person tank your season.
Yeah, I think the argument would be overall that, and you've mentioned this a few times, is that this has gotten to the point, and when you talk about Jalen, that it's so present that you wonder if it is, how could it not be going through his head when he's on the field? It would be very difficult to say that this is so there all the time, but when you're playing, all of a sudden it goes away. It's not there anymore.
Well,
and the argument I guess you could make is the argument that you make with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen. And mm-hmm. I know that Jalen's not Josh Allen. He isn't. But the argument you could make is, hey, look, if he doesn't have to think about anything other than where should the ball go, that – you know, they have A.J. Brown now, and the pass offense isn't very good. They had A.J. Brown last year. The pass offense wasn't very good. So I guess you could make the argument that at this point, it's not helping in the way that a talent of his stature should help, and that maybe if he's not there, it opens up everybody else to play more freely if they're not worried about whether A.J. is going to be happy after the game or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole thing is that to me would be dictated by AJ. His actions, his words. In other words, he would have to be trying to force his way out of here. But if you're the Eagles, there's no benefit other than that to get rid of talent that good. Like, you're not going to be a better team because of that.
Unless he's preventing,
Yeah, but to me that would mean Here's my thing. It would have to be him verbally saying it, coming out being disruptive.
Yeah.
Like him being unhappy, he's not getting the ball. Unless he's throwing tantrums on the sideline or anything. Like he didn't do anything in his last game. He didn't do anything out of character. There was no body language. There was no visual issues on the sideline with them. He just decided not to answer questions about a meetup. And to his point, he's saying it was painted as if there was some grand sit-down for 3 hours or 2 hours that he didn't like the picture that was being painted. So he wanted to make sure he clarified, like, that's not what happened. I saw them in the parking lot. Now, if he's telling the truth, then they can't be upset that he told the truth about what actually happened.
Yeah. Especially when
– you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no,
like,
I agree with you.
If he's telling
you.
The
yeah.
truth, like, that's actually what happened – then you can't be mad because he didn't decide to put a pretty bow on it the way it was presented to whomever broke the story about it.
Yeah. And I guess you could say Saquon also, he didn't frame it exactly the way AJ did, but he did say this wasn't some sit-down, that it was a conversation between teammates. It wasn't that we were all locked in a room, mm-hmm. you know, and said, we're going to sit in here until we're all friends again.
Yeah.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Engagement season is here. It all starts with a world-class diamond. Go where the pros go, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Would you rather the Eagles trade a third-round pick for Trey Hendrickson or just re-sign BG?
That's the question you asked.
Yeah. It's a hotly contested day on the old Twitter question.
Yeah,
if I'm answering that question, I would just say re-sign BG.
What do you think the poll is at?
Well, they probably want Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, it's pretty decisive. 87.9% say. And
how's Trey Hendrickson doing?
I haven't looked.
He's day to day, by the way.
Oh, is
back
he?
Injured.
I mean, I think we should look before everybody wants him.
Wow.
Well, I mean, but we're willing to give up a third round pick for a name. He may be checked out at 34 years old.
Let's see.
How old is Trey Hendrickson?
I think he's 32.
He's 32. Yeah. Let's see. Trey Hendrickson, so far.
He got four sacks.
There you go. Well, there you go. That's half as many as the Eagles have this year. So.
That's true.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I would say that that's pretty good. All right, 215-592-9494. Two big pieces of news today that we are discussing. One, Za'Darius Smith retires out of nowhere for the Eagles, and the Phillies are bringing Rob Thompson back. There will be a press conference on Thursday with Dave Dombrowski and Rob Thompson to discuss the season. Of course, we'll carry that on WIP. Speaking of press conferences, Nick Sirianni speaks at 3:15. We're all very interested to hear what he has to say about Za'Darius Smith retiring. And
you know what he's going to say?
It was his decision.
It was his decision.
Yeah. And
like, that's what he's gonna say.
And this is the first time we've heard from Nick since the Eagles got thrashed by the Giants on Thursday night. He spoke after the game, but that was it.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. 215-592-9494.
Do the morning show?
I don't think
no.
so. No.
And do they shut Elliott out again?
Oh, that is a big story as well. Elliott shut out at the press conference last time. There's a lot to listen for. 215-592.
I actually do want to listen for that.
9494. As I mentioned, that segment brought to you by NJM Insurance. While some insurance companies use gimmicks to get your attention, NJM Insurance companies use gimmicks to get your attention. NJM would rather focus on putting their policyholders first. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. Visit NJM.com to learn more. We're at Chickies and Pete's in...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
South Philly. This fall, enjoy Chickie's season favorites, A.J. Brown's Sweet Heat Wings, Chickie's Sliders, Savory Buffalo Shrimp, and more. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Chickie's in South Philly is where we are. Jordan Mailata Show coming up at 6, live from Chickie's. Then the Players Lounge with Ike and Hugh and Elliot. And the player this week is Cam Jurgens will join them from 7 to 8.
All the offensive linemen.
Yes. We are a trenches show.
Yes, get in the trenches. But what are the chances Sirianni shows up with a shaved head at the press conference?
Oh, you think that's where it is? It's shaved head time?
Come on.
I don't think it's shaved
Run
head
it back,
yet.
Nick.
The Nick Sirianni, the coach's press conference, we will bring you in moments. It is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. Ike, let me ask you this about Nick Sirianni and the Jalen AJ thing.
Yeah.
What is the right amount of involvement that he has to have in that situation? You don't want to be like a teacher, right? These are grown men.
Yeah.
But also, the culture of the team is your responsibility, and this is an issue. So how much does he involve himself in that situation?
Listen, I think he's probably already done is all he can do. You know, if he senses there's tension there or something that needs to be, you know, the air needs to be cleared, I'm sorry. Then he can facilitate that.
Yeah.
And say, you know, hey, we get you guys in here together. Can this be talked out, or what's the issue if there is an issue? See, here's the problem. It makes it difficult for Nick Sirianni. I don't know if there is something tangible there other than they're just not vibing. Like, it could be two people not getting along, right?
Yep.
And it's been going on long enough that you're like, what the hell? What initiated this? What started this? And how did I first get irritated by this or something? And because it wasn't resolved, and now there's been other things, the way the person looks, the way the person talks, you know.
And now it's pride,
it could be anything. Yeah, and then pride gets in there. So I'm saying all this to say I don't know what else Nick Sirianni could do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's something there that you could sit guys down and they hash it out. If Saquon was just sort of involved with this and trying to get things worked out, I don't know if it did or didn't work. I think it's unfair for us to say, well, there's still issues there with AJ. Other than the fact that AJ downplayed, I guess, the significance of the meeting and how the logistics of it worked. Other than that, who's to say if when they talked last week, things aren't different?
It's funny.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't know.
It's funny you said you don't know what you're mad at anymore. Everybody who has been married has had that
man,
fight.
Oh, man, you kidding me?
Yeah. You don't even know what you're fighting about anymore. I remember my buddy Jeff. I can't even remember what – it was like, – I don't think we talked for a month.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I don't think we could identify
– we can remember what the hell it started over.
What you were mad about.
Yeah.
We weren't even in the same state. You're at the same team. All of a sudden, that thing starts to fester.
Yeah.
And nobody even knows what the real problem is. To your point, maybe it's just maybe their personalities are different, and the fact that one is so dependent on the other for success, mm-hmm. you know, that can grind on you. And they're just at a spot where maybe it's
well. And here's the other thing: as it pertains to Jalen, he's the quarterback.
Yeah.
So. A large part of his job as the quarterback is everybody on the offense. So how much time and energy does he devote to this?
When he's got to keep Devontae happy.
Well, you got to run an offense. Yeah. You got to, like, he's the quarterback of the team.
You got to call out the protections.
Yeah.
It's you. Everything comes back to you.
He has to handle the media every day. He doesn't get to skip media sessions.
No.
Or what have you.
Yeah.
So he has to speak on the matters that's going on with the team and be supportive of the coach, which is why I give him a lot of credit because – through all of this, Jalen hasn't made any, in my opinion, unless I miss something, he hasn't come out and undermined Nick Sirianni or Kevin Petullo.
No passive aggressive.
Not one
anything.
Time. No passive aggressive answers or any of that. So that lets me know he's on the same page with the coaches.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then you got AJ who's in support of the coaches. So the coaches look there and they're like, well, hell, I'm glad it ain't us that y'all mad at. And
we're clear.
Yeah, we're good. Now, can y'all work this out and figure this thing out?
We will bring you Nick Sirianni speaking in moments. 215-592-9494. Big Aaron in West Philly. Been a while.
Wow.
What's up, Big A?
Been a while, man. And I'm coming in with some smoke. I'm tired of this, man.
Yep.
What exactly are you
Things are going bad. Here's Big A.
Didn't I say I was a disgruntled fan when I first called this radio station?
You are.
Tired of the pantsy stuff for the Philly. They irritate me. You know, you give them a break. Ike, I'm mad at you, Ike. I like this team. I don't like this team.
I do.
Good baseball team.
Good baseball team.
You like a team that don't win.
No. No, I don't like that part of it.
They're trying their best.
No, they ain't trying their damn best. Topper should go.
I don't know.
Why the hell they keep a Topper, I don't know. Why
he's a good manager.
Highest winning percentage in the history of the franchise.
Okay, you can say all this stuff, but can he strategize? Can he know when to take a pitcher in, take a pitcher out?
Mm-mm.
Do what he got to do. No, see, we get Phillies. If this was the Eagles, we'd be going crazy. If this was the Sixers, we'd definitely be going crazy. But the Phillies seem like they get a nice little pass. Oh, look at them. They're a sweet team. Look at this.
No, this is what happens with the Phillies.
Get mad at this team.
Big A.
I can't stand this team.
We do
now,
get mad at the team.
I'm going to tell you who you're going to keep. Let me just tell you.
Go ahead.
Hell.
You got to keep the big bat. You got to keep him.
Schwarber.
Schwarber.
You got to keep Turner. Yeah. No, no Schwarber. No.
Well, that's the big bat.
That's the big bat. Who are you talking about?
No. I like Harper.
Okay.
Harper Price.
Because of the contract. You keep Turner. You keep Sosa. Everybody else can go.
Sosa.
Everybody can go. You gotta get some brothers on this squad. Let me just say it now. Get some brothers on the squad that can run, get steal bases. We need some switch hitters. We need somebody that can. Oh, I could just bat against right hand.
Hold on, Big A.
Time.
How many brothers do we got in baseball?
Well, hold on, Justin Crawford's coming.
I don't know. You got to find them. You got to find a Cuban player.
Yep.
There it is.
Yeah, there you go. There it is.
I'm mad, bro. I'm mad. And it's not enough madness against this team. It's just puffy.
They're the little engine that could, Phils. It's all right.
Yeah, little engine that could. $300 million.
No, listen. The Phils big A. The Phils benefit because their season usually ends in the middle of the Eagles season.
Yes.
So what?
Well, my point is that we usually are.
Sorry, Big A. We are going to Nick Sirianni right here.
I cut off again.
Yep. It's Nick Sirianni. It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, I'm trying to put myself in a headspace where I can be optimistic about the rest of the season. And I'm looking at the point we are in the season right now. And we're at a similar point where they were last year, where they sort of turned it around. Everybody talks about the bye week in 2-2, but it was really not the first game after the bye. Because the first game after the bye was the Cleveland game that they won 2016 that Nick ended up yelling at the fans during. We had that all that controversy. Mm-hmm. And it was all this controversy. It was really the next week and the next game is when I really started to believe in Sirianni. Because there was the controversy around Nick. The team was 3-2, but ultimately nobody felt that good about the team. And they went in and they played the Giants. And they won 28-3. And not only did they win 28-3, but Saquon Barkley rushed for 170 yards. And from that point on, right, they lost only one game. It was the Washington game where Jalen got hurt. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the moment that they turned it on. And we've said a lot of, or our guests at least, have said a lot of, it's early and you have time and at least they've won. And they are. They're 4-2, and there's nobody in the NFC aside from Tampa that only has one loss. I think it's just Tampa. So from a record standpoint, they're in a totally fine position. But I think we are at the point now where from a play standpoint, the way the team plays is going to have to start improving, not just a little bit. From an offensive perspective, it has to improve a lot or else it's not going to be, we're going to be at the midpoint of the season very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. This Minnesota game on Sunday reminds me a little bit of the Giants game last year in that if they don't do something here, I'm going to start to lose faith that they're ever going to do something in that. The way they've played up to this point is not a 13-win football team. I don't think it's a 12-win football team.
Well, they didn't look like a 13-win team at this point last year either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But going into the New York, that's when the recipe started. Was the New York game.
Yeah, and people still complain 4 or 5 weeks, 6 weeks later.
Sure.
About the passing offense wasn't where it needed to be.
But in retrospect, we had something we could put our faith in,
sure.
And that was the performance of Saquon.
Sure.
The problem I'm having at this point is I look around, and I don't know what the thing that is going to lead us is.
Well, no, the problem you have is that you don't have patience.
No. They're 4-2.
That's the problem. You don't have patience.
No, and I don't think that's the problem.
Well, that is because you're not giving it time.
Well, but what? Why do they need time? What time do they need?
Well, they need time to get their offense. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is the offense needs to look like for you to be okay with it.
How about not?
Hold on. You just went for a minute there. Let me cook for a second. First of all, the passing game has improved the last 2 weeks. We can talk about the deep ball to AJ. We can talk about the deep ball to Devontae, the pick. I get that. 280 yards passing in two straight games versus what I saw the first 4 weeks of the season. That's light years improvement. Light years improvement. Right? Will we agree? 280 yards passing? Back-to-back weeks?
The numbers are improved, but when you watch it, it certainly...
It looks better.
Okay.
The passing game doesn't look... I mean, how do you go from throwing 90 yards a game to 280 and then we don't like any of it?
I mean, they in the last three games, they've scored one touchdown in the second half.
Okay.
One.
Okay.
One touchdown in three games.
I said the passing game.
There have been moments.
That's... We said improvement.
No.
So... Hold on. We said improvement. The passing game has improved since the beginning of the season. That's factual. Like, that's a fact. It may not be to your liking, but it has improved. The running.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The running game needs to improve. And then the offense will complement itself. And we need to quit getting players injured. Players getting injured, not being in. I don't know how the offense is ever going to get to a point where they are just clicking on all cylinders. And I think sometimes we look back at last year and we think, okay, after that Giants game, everything was smooth sailing from that point on with the offense. It wasn't. It wasn't. It just was not. The passing game still was up and down at times. That's why they finished 29th in the league throwing the ball. Only difference is that Saquon isn't the same Saquon, or the, put it this way, the running game isn't the same running game as it was a year ago. So it puts more pressure on your passing game to be better. And if we're going to become predictable where we're throwing the ball 70% of the time, it's going to be difficult at times. I tell you, Brian Flores is the defensive coordinator in Minnesota. Ain't going to get much easier Sunday in a dome on the road. Just telling you. That's not an offense that you look to get your comeuppance on and get your get back on. Like, that's going to be difficult on the road. That's another one of those games where you say to yourself, you win it by any means necessary, and you keep chugging away. And I can't ignore what everybody else is doing around the league, because the Eagles – sure, they aren't playing to the Super Bowl standard that's been set out there. But when I look at the rest of the conference, I don't see another team out there that's a juggernaut. Detroit just lost on the road to a team everybody thought was dead in the Kansas City Chiefs. They just lost. Tampa Bay. Here's what I'll tell you about Tampa Bay. When you live on the tightrope like Tampa Bay does, that all comes to an end in January. I've seen that. I've seen teams start off hot and fizzle out. Minnesota last year. I've seen it. It's usually the teams that get cooking around week 7, week 8, and they start rolling then. Those are the teams that are the strongest ones the second half of the season going into the playoffs. So the Eagles do have time on their hands. Now, I don't know if they're going to do it, but they have the time and history on their side, meaning that they got 11 games left plus a bye week, and they've done this before. Now, if they can't get out of their own way, then that'll be their own detriment. But they got the pieces there that this season is far from over. I'm not afraid of Green Bay. I'm not afraid of Detroit. I'm not afraid of the Rams. We already beat Tampa. Who else in the NFC should I be looking at?
Do you think any of those teams are afraid of the Eagles?
No.
Okay.
Well, I agree. My only point is that they can lose just like we can lose, and we can win just like they can win.
Of course. But again,
we have the experience.
And I don't think this has anything to do with patience. You being six games into the season, which is a third of the season,
yeah,
you should at least have one part of your game that says this part of our game is performing at a good level, a top 10 level. That their running game is not. They're not even the not even top 15.
Sure.
Their defense is not. The secondary is not. The defensive line is not. And the pass game is not. Has it been better the last couple of weeks? Sure, it's been better, but it's also not been something that can carry you. I don't think anyone would say that our pass game is something that can carry.
Well, if our defense showed up the other night, maybe we win that game. The defense didn't even show up.
We scored 17 points against the Giants.
Yeah, I know. And we gave up 34 against the Giants.
And we didn't score in the second half.
I know.
We should not.
I know, but we're giving up points every drive is the point I'm making.
And we're not scoring any.
Yeah.
So, yes, if the defense was better, sure. But we don't have, like, from a personnel standpoint, I don't know how much better the defense is going to be.
They can play better than they did Thursday night.
Sure, and the offense can play better than they did on Thursday. They can both play better than they did on Thursday night. Which brings me to my original point, is that if it does not start soon, given the point of where we are in the season, because this is, I'm not saying that we were a finished product after the Giants game. I'm saying
nowhere near.
No, but there was a path, right? There was a path. The defense was coming together.
We didn't know that at the time, though.
But we can look in retrospect.
Yeah, it's easy to do that now in retrospect. In the heat of the moment, you weren't telling me how great the team was and they were getting ready to go win the Super Bowl.
No,
we were still complaining about the passing
game.
But
I can tell you after the Giants. No.
We were still complaining about the passing
game. Yes, but I can tell.
So then the offense was not complete.
But I can tell you after that game, I believe that they came together. You can go look at the tape. I gave Sirianni credit. We had a Saquon Barkley run for 170 yards.
Yeah.
We don't have
any of that. Against a weak Giant team.
Yes, and against a weak Giant team, we just get our asses kicked on
Thursday. I'm talking about last year.
And I'm talking about this year.
I know. No, your point is that you're trying to tell me after that Giants game, you had all this faith.
No.
And that's what I'm challenging. I'm telling you, even after that Giant game, there were still complaints about the offense, and they got better. That's the point that I'm making, is that they got better after that.
But there were signs. There were signs at that point that there was already significant improvement on the defense and significant improvement in the running game. And by the way, the running game was there the first 4 weeks of the season. We weren't.
It was where?
Saquon Barkley looked great the first four weeks
of last
of the
year?
Season. Yes.
He didn't look great against Tampa.
He looked
great. He had one big run against Tampa. He didn't look great against Cleveland.
He looked great against Green Bay. He had he probably had four or five big plays up until that point. At this point, we have zero.
Sure. We already know he was better last year.
Yes. So that's what I'm
saying. But if the offensive line is injured, what are we going to do about that? What do you want him to do? The offensive line can't block.
One player on the offensive line is injured. One. Cam Jurgens, big money player, still there.
Lane was in and out of the lineup.
Yep, he's still there.
Was he not dealing with an injury?
This year you're talking about?
Didn't he come out in two games?
Yes, and he was there the full game on Thursday night.
Yeah.
My point is, you want to talk about injuries. Tampa had plenty of injuries yesterday.
I don't give a damn about Tampa.
You're the one that brought up Tampa.
I don't care about Tampa.
Mike Evans injured. Godwin injured.
I brought up Tampa to say I'm not afraid of Tampa because they're 4-1.
I know.
If
we want to talk about the reasons why we are not succeeding, and we want to put that on injuries.
That's why the running
game isn't working. Well, I could say Tampa's pass game shouldn't work without Godwin and Mike Evans.
I'm not talking about Tampa, so what do you want to tell me? Saquon? Done?
No, I'm not saying.
So why is the running game not working?
It is both Saquon and the offensive line. They're not performing well.
Okay.
And I'm saying after 6 weeks, they were performing well last year.
Okay.
All right?
I didn't argue that.
Okay. 215-592.
I didn't argue that. I just said the team was, they still were getting better from that point is all I said. They weren't a finished product just because they beat up the lowly Giants last year.
No, but again.
And nobody was even buying them after that Giants
and
game.
And we got our asses kicked by the lowly Giants.
I know, but I'm talking about last year and where you are from a patient standpoint, where you've already decided if this thing doesn't turn around Sunday is going to be a tough game. In Minnesota against another tough defense on the road. I don't know how great they're going to look Sunday. I don't know.
Oh, well, but if they win. Which week should they look good in? 10, 12?
My point is that if they win and they're 5-2, we'll pick apart what didn't look good, but they'll be 5-2.
At what point this season should the offense look good?
By the bye week.
Okay, so 2 more weeks.
If that's when the bye week is.
That is. We have 2 more games, Minnesota and the Giants.
Yes. All right. Now, looking good is subjective. We do realize that, right? So that's opinions. Unless you set a bar.
We've been on the same page so far about whether they've looked good or not.
Well, I just said the passing game has improved the last 2 weeks.
Has improved.
And you didn't like that. Because it's subjective.
Okay.
I've said it the last 2 weeks. I like what the passing game has been. I like the fact they've added explosive plays. I've been saying that for 2 weeks, right? Yeah, for 2 weeks, because it's been happening for 2 weeks.
Okay, I don't think the pass game has looked that good.
I know
that,
but I'm saying that's why I said it's subjective.
Okay, 215-592-9494. Donovan McNabb joins us next, as he does every Monday at 4 o'clock. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Joe to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.